Now, the British government is in turmoil after two of its most senior ministers resigned from Prime Minister Boris Johnson's cabinet. Finance Minister Rishi Sunak said in a statement he no longer saw eye to eye with Johnson and that their views on the economy were fundamentally too different. Health Secretary Sajid Javid said he could no longer continue in his role in good conscience. He said the Conservative Party were no longer popular or competent. Boris Johnson was forced to apologise once again on Tuesday. That's after he failed to come clean about what he knew about an MP who was appointed to a senior position despite claims of sexual misconduct. Well, let's get more on this from Rory Challens in London. Rory, it looks from the outset as if this could be the start of a revolt against Prime Minister Boris Johnson.
He is hanging by a thread now, the British Prime Minister. These are mortal blows to him. We will have to see whether they really do finish him off or whether he can stagger on for a while. This is a man, a politician who is renowned for being almost Lazarus-like, able to come from the dead. But we'll have to see. This is looking very, very, very precarious for Boris Johnson. For one key minister to go is obviously a blow. For two to go in what is obviously, an orchestrated move could well be the beginning of the end. Boris Johnson has been sucker-punched by first his health secretary and then even more seriously by his Chancellor of the Exchequer as well. We have both of the letters that were written to Boris Johnson by those ministers here, and I can read you the first one. This came from Sajid Javid, who says that Conservatives, at their best, are seen as hard-headed decision-makers guided by strong values. We've may not always have been popular, but we've been competent in acting in the national interest. Sadly, in the current circumstances, the public are concluding that we are now neither. The vote of confidence last month showed that a large number of our colleagues agree. It was a moment for humility, grip and a new direction. I regret to say, and this is the key bit, I regret to say, however, that it is clear to me that this situation will not change under your leadership, and you have therefore lost my confidence too. So that is obviously a very, very personal attack on the Prime Minister, wounding him very deeply. And then we have the letter from Rishi Sunak, sorry, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, who says the public rightly expect government to be conducted properly, competently and seriously. I recognise this may be my last ministerial job, but I believe these standards are worth fighting for, and that's why I'm resigning. I'm sad to be leaving the government, but I've reluctantly come to the conclusion that we cannot continue like this. Both of these ministers basically pointing the finger at Boris Johnson, saying that he is the problem. It's his personality, it's his leadership that is costing the Conservative Party, that is eroding trust in the government, and that's why they've decided to leave. A very, very serious blow for the Prime Minister tonight.
Rory, and this appears to be the cumulative effect of scandal after scandal. Probably internationally our audience knows about Partygate, but there have been some dubious appointments to senior posts within government recently and the loss of two by-elections recently. Talk us through Boris Johnson's bumpy road over the past couple of years.
Yeah, well, Partygate is the most serious. It's the one that has caused the most headlines and has perhaps done most to erode public trust in this government and in Boris Johnson. Essentially, Boris Johnson was fined by the police, along with more than 100 of his aides and civil servants, for partying through lockdown at a time when he personally was telling people around the country that they should be staying at home, they should be not seeing loved ones, they could not even go into old people's homes and say goodbye to grandmothers, grandfathers, mothers and fathers who were perhaps dying. They couldn't go and say goodbye to people in hospitals. This was deeply, deeply traumatic for the country. And to find out that the Prime Minister himself had been going to parties while all that was going on perhaps has done more than anything else to damage his reputation. But, of course, there are other things as well. There was the Owen Paterson affair, which really poisoned relations, I think, with many of his backbenchers. Now, he was a former Tory minister who was found by the Parliament Standards Watchdog to have committed an egregious breach of lobbying rules. Boris Johnson then tried to change those rules to protect his friend, and there was a backlash which forced him to climb down. There was another scandal involving him decorating his flat and who paid for that, whether that was a kind of cash for favours sort of arrangement. And most recently, the affair over Chris Pincher, which has been blowing up this week. An MP, a deputy whip, who was found to have committed sexual misconduct. Downing Street said that Boris Johnson didn't know anything about this. It then transpired that he did. And earlier on today, he came out and was forced to apologise for yet another of his seeming gaffes or crises. Let's listen to how Boris Johnson put that earlier on.
There's no place in this government for anybody who is predatory or who abuses their position of power.
Did you once joke, though, Pincher by name, Pincher by nature?
Well, what I can tell you is that if I look at the background of this and why I regret it so much, is that about 3 years ago, there was a complaint made against Chris Pincher in the Foreign Office. The complaint was cleared up. He apologised. It was raised with me. Orally, there was I was briefed on what had happened, mm-hmm. And you know, if I had my time again, I would think back on it.
And Rory, Boris Johnson seems to have turned surviving political scandal into something of an art form, hasn't he? In the last few minutes or so, we've seen on social media confirmation from Liz Truss, the Foreign Secretary, that she will stand firmly behind the Prime Minister. Kwasi Kwarteng, the Business Secretary, and Priti Patel, Home Secretary, and Ben Wallace, Defence Secretary, all saying that they'll stand by Boris Johnson. There is still a chance that he could survive all this.
Yeah, I'll add Jacob Rees-Mogg to that as well. I'll read you a quote from him. The Prime Minister won a mandate from the British people, and that is more powerful than cabinet ministers resigning. So clearly, he does still have supporters, but the question is what he does now. Can he rally those supporters? Will they be enough to keep him in his position? Will there be more resignations if there are other big fish from within the cabinet who resign? Then that will heap more pressure on him. Will there be a renewed attempt by backbenchers and those disenchanted with Boris Johnson's leadership within the Conservative Party to try to force another vote of confidence? The rules of the game, as set by the 1922 committee, are that once you have had a vote of no confidence against you, which he had very recently and survived, there cannot be another one for a year. But those rules are changeable, and if the 1922 committee decides that it wants to change the rules, they can do so. They can reduce that statute of limitations. So there is a mechanism, perhaps, that could be brought into play again to try and get Boris Johnson out of power. That might be by the by, though, because if we see more cabinet resignations, his position may become untenable anyway.
Rory Challens in London on a dramatic day in British politics. OK, well, let's bring in Sir John Curtis now, who's a politics professor at the University of Strathclyde. He joins us from the French village of Mosse. Thank you so much for your time, Sir John. Is it possible to say, is this the beginning of the end for Boris Johnson, if we look at the numbers?
Well, it certainly looks as though it's going to be difficult for him. Probably the crucial thing now is, even if no other cabinet minister resigns, what happens in the election that's due to take place, I think it's next week, for the officers of the 1922 committee? That's the organisation that represents Conservative backbenchers. There was already expected to be an attempt to put in place in those positions those who would be willing to contemplate holding another vote in less than the 12 months you've just been talking about. There must now be an increased chance that an attempt to fill those posts with those who don't want Boris Johnson will succeed. And there must now be an increased chance that if there is another ballot, the second time around, Boris Johnson will not have the majority behind him, because certainly I think the resignations of Rishi Sunak and of Sajid Javid is going to take some of the backbenchers and perhaps in private other ministers with them. So Boris Johnson is, we know, is very, very unlikely to resign. He will attempt to fill the two vacancies that exist. And the fact that Liz Truss, the foreign secretary, has decided to stand by him probably means he's at least OK for the next 24 hours. But it's pretty clear that those MPs who were disenchanted with Boris Johnson 2 weeks ago are even more disenchanted now. And the question is, to what extent do those two cabinet resignations act as a litmus test of increased concern amongst MPs who 2 weeks ago were willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, but perhaps are no longer willing to do so.
This is a man, of course, who swept to power, promising to get Brexit done, and he's managed to sustain a tremendous amount of popularity amongst the public, amongst MPs, for a tremendous amount of time, irrespective of scandal after scandal. But what sense are you getting from the polls about his popularity amongst ordinary voters?
Well, the truth is, you can easily exaggerate, as I think you've just done, the popularity of Boris Johnson as Prime Minister. Boris Johnson, yes, appealed to that half of the public that voted Leave, but he's never been popular amongst that half of the public that voted Remain. And his problem is, however, is that now, by no means all, but some of those who voted for him in 2019 after having voted Leave, are no longer willing to stand by him. So if you take the most recent reading of whether people are satisfied or dissatisfied with his leadership, you've got about 30% of the general public saying they're satisfied with him, but over 50% saying they are dissatisfied. The numbers have been around that level now for a number of weeks, and they essentially reflect the damage that's been done to his personal reputation by, in particular, the Partygate affair. Now, you know, it's true. There are still people out there who go, you know, not quite sure Boris has been telling us the truth. I certainly don't think he should have been attending those gatherings in 10 Downing Street, but who are still willing to say he's delivered Brexit, he delivered the vaccine rollout, etc. But in the end, this has, I think, become a story that's moved on from the public reaction. The public reaction really was set in stone 6 months ago when the Partygate story first broke. This is now really a feeling about Tory MPs. And I think it's always been the case that whether Boris Johnson could survive would depend on the willingness, the continued willingness of his Tory MPs to be willing to defend him on Al Jazeera, on the BBC, on Sky News, etc. And just to give you one indication this afternoon that I picked up, that perhaps Tory MPs are no longer willing to back Boris Johnson. Just speaking to a local radio BBC station based in Coventry, they'd rung around all their Conservative MPs, trying to get one of them to comment, and none of them would come on air. And in the end, it's a question of whether or not Tory MPs, either because of electoral concern or because of basically ethical concerns about the Prime Minister, whether they're willing to defend him or not. And the way in which some ministers were left to try to defend the Prime Minister in the last 72 hours, only to discover that the defence that they were given proved not to be the truth, is not going to encourage other Conservative MPs any continued willingness to stand by the Prime Minister.
No, clearly Conservative MPs are very much keen to hold on to their jobs going forward. But do you think all of this, all of these shenanigans, these ups and downs by the Prime Minister have dealt a damaging blow to the wider Conservative Party?
Well, I'm not sure that this story is going to do any more damage to the Conservatives than Partygate has already done. I mean, the reason why this story has legs is because of the way in which, as you were discussing it, it echoes the concerns about the Prime Minister that the Owen Paterson affair and the Partygate affair already had. And the Partygate affair, it isn't a Westminster bubble affair. This is something that touched a lot of people emotionally because they knew what they had to do during the lockdown, the sacrifices they made, some of them deeply personal ones, and then they discovered that, in their view, the Prime Minister wasn't keeping to it. That's where the damage arose, because in the wake of that, people were saying, A, do I trust this gentleman's judgment? And B, and crucially, do I believe what he says anymore? 75% of the public have been saying for weeks they do not believe what the Prime Minister's been saying about Partygate. And the question that's been facing the Conservative MPs ever since that is, well, they don't believe the Prime Minister over Partygate. Will they believe him over the cost of living crisis, the Ukraine crisis, and the other very, very substantial challenges that face this government? If the Prime Minister's no longer got the credibility in the eyes of a significant section of the public, then recovery from the party's current position under his leadership was going to be difficult. Now, maybe we are or are not going to find out whether he can turn things around, but that certainly was a big question hanging over whether or not Conservative MPs would be wise in keeping him as their leader.
Sir John Curtis, political professor at the University of Strathclyde, I'm sure you'll be watching these political developments very closely. Thank you.
You're welcome.